And I was thinking about that interview that I had had with this young man, and he even asked me, he said, do you think I'm being Pollyannish about the whole thing? He asked me off camera. And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, you know, because I listed that at least we have allies in the church right now, like Cardinal Sarah, Cardinal Burke, Bishop Strickland, Bishop Schneider. I said, and who else? Well, okay, those four. But as long as we have those four, we have hope, don't we? At least that's what he asked me. My final answer to his question about whether or not he was being Pollyannish was, yes, you are.
This is John Henry Weston for LifeSite News, bringing you breaking news out of Rome. The Pillar has just learned that Pope Francis had a meeting on Saturday with regard to canceling or forcing the resignation of Bishop Joseph Strickland of Tyler, Texas. LifeSite News has also learned separately that the former bishop of Tyler, Bishop Carrada, is actually in Tyler, Texas, visiting through September. And those are very suspicious circumstances indeed. Let me tell you here what the Pillar wrote. The Pope met...
Before we get to the Pillar, we're talking about Bishop Joseph Strickland of Tyler, Texas. He's outspoken, conservative, very pro-life, the only bishop in the United States to oppose the death vax. The only bishop that I know of in the United States to publicly oppose the death vaccine. Here's what the Pillar wrote.
August 9th, with Archbishop Robert Prevost, OSA of the Augustinians, the head of the Dicastery for Bishops, and Archbishop Christophe Pierre, Apostolic Nuncio to the United States. Both are cardinals-elect, in other words, selected to be cardinals. The three bishops, by the way, who are on the committee of Pope Francis to deal with bishops are Bishop Provost, as mentioned, Prevost, as mentioned, but also Cardinal Supich and Cardinal Tobin. So in terms of recommendations, it's like the left leading. It's all these men are terrible leftists. The Pillar says, the quote, the situation of Bishop Strickland is the agenda. And that's coming from a senior official close to the Dicastery who spoke to the Pillar. And he continued saying, the expectation is that the Holy Father will be requesting his resignation. That will certainly be the recommendation put to them. The official said there are two aspects. There is the matter of the public scandal from all these comments about the Pope and the Synod, but there's also real problems in the diocese. Those were the focus of the visitation. There are concerns in the diocese about governance, about financial matters, about basic prudence. And it's interesting, you know, that's the diocese with probably the highest per capita seminarians. That's the diocese that's doing well financially. But no. All of that is not good enough. Bishop Strickland told me in our interview about, you know, things are going well from an administrative point in his diocese.
Things are going well in the diocese of Tyler, Texas. So well, in fact, that they need to be investigated. Because what's going wrong, the administrative mismanagement that is being alleged here, the worst thing you can do as a Roman Catholic bishop, not only in the USSA, with the USCCB governed by absolutely terrifying people like Wuerl and Tobin, etc., Supich. The worst thing you can do in the USSA is succeed, is have your parishes operate in the black. His parish's cash flow. And the reason why his parish's cash flow is because they're not empty. And the reason why they're not empty is because he allows priests to be conservative in his diocese. They didn't lock down, or to the extent that they did, they did lock down, but they were one of the first to open up. They have opposed the death vaccine. They have called COVID for what it is. And so there hasn't been a major breach of trust between the clergy in Tyler, Texas, and the clergy elsewhere in the USSA, where everyone pretended to be scared of the flu. The second reason why he's able to keep so many parishes open is because he has so many seminarians and so many priests. And the reason why he has so many seminarians and so many priests is because people have flocked to him. Conservatives have flocked to him from around the country. And so he has the vocations and he has the manpower to keep the parishes open. Rather than do what Supich is doing in Chicago and others are doing elsewhere all around the world, from Germany onward, rather than consolidating the diocese into 3 or 4 mega parishes, supercenters, mass supercenters, where you have 10,000 or 20,000 parishioners concentrated in one mega parish with 3 priests, 7 masses on a Sunday. He hasn't done that. He hasn't needed to do that. And that's why he is perhaps under investigation, because he has financially mismanaged the assets which have been bequeathed to him. Namely, he has refused to sell the valuable real estate that the Catholic Church holds under his purview and donate it to Peter's Pence, i.e. Francis's slush fund. So because he has not given sufficiently to Francis's slush fund in Peter Pence, because he hasn't sold down his real estate, cashed in, gone for the liquidity, because he has the manpower to run a diocese where there's a few hundred people for every priest, there's a real connection there, real pastorship, real stewardship of souls, well, then he's doing something wrong. He's under attack. An observation I need to make, actually, I'll let John Henry Weston of LifeSite News finish out his analysis, and then I'm going to give you something that John Henry missed on this. Not because he missed the mark, not because he doesn't know this, but because, you know, he wanted to put out a 3-minute video on Twitter, and this is not one of the points that he chose to make. I don't know where he stands on this issue, but I'm going to tell you what I think is very important about all this.
But nevertheless, there we have it. The official predicted that the Pope was unlikely to decide to depose Bishop Strickland, says the Pillar, but that he would be encouraged to resign. The official told the Pillar, and I quote, "The consensus in the dicastery is that he will be asked to consider resigning. That has been the substance of discussion among members. Depending on how the bishop responds, the strength of that encouragement could be increased," said the informant. And so here's the interesting part. Bishop Strickland is a strong bishop. If you go and rewatch my interview with him, he knows what he's doing is right. He knows that he's loving our Lord. And this is the man who is in adoration for a couple of hours before Mass every single day. Pray for Bishop Strickland, but be assured that Christ is in charge of his church. And it's a glorious time to fight for Christ and his church.
It is a glorious time to fight for Christ and his church. I have no doubt about that. And I agree with John Henry Weston. I think that's an excellent point. Here's the point that John Henry could have made but didn't. So many of you have looked at irregular or canceled priests in their faces and said, why don't you just go join Bishop Strickland? How many of you have done this? Be honest with yourselves. How many of you have gone online or gone out to Twitter and said, hey, Father Altman, why don't you join Bishop Strickland in Tyler, Texas? I mean, Strickland himself went out to Twitter in the wake of Father Altman getting canceled, and he invited Father Altman to his diocese. He said, hey, you have a safe place here. But the question is it really a safe place? In an age where Frank the Tank, Chaos Frank, regularly sacks bishops. You know, the bishop that he sacked in Puerto Rico was one of the only bishops on planet Earth who opposed the death vaccine. The Pfizer Pope does not abide those who oppose the experimental serum. The Pfizer Pope rules with an iron fist. John Henry Weston of LifeSite News is reporting that there will be varying degrees of pressure applied to Bishop Strickland so that he does resign. I think Bishop Strickland is a loyal son of the church. I think that it goes against the grain of who he is to oppose who he thinks is the Pope. And if the man whom he believes to be the Pope, the sovereign pontiff, tells him to resign, then he will, out of obedience, resign. But this goes to a misunderstanding that we as lay people really have about the vows that clerics make before God to each other. Clerics make vows of chastity and poverty and obedience. A cleric who makes a vow of obedience is not making a vow of obedience to Joseph Strickland. He's making a vow of obedience to the Bishop of Tyler, Texas. To the Roman Catholic Bishop of Tyler, Texas. Whomever that may be. Yesterday, it may have been Strickland. Tomorrow, we don't know. So when you make a vow of obedience, the question that you must ask yourself is, can I live with my vow of obedience to you and your successors? And if the answer to that question is not a resounding, affirmative, morally certain yes, then it's a fake vow. It's not a real vow that you're making. If you're making a vow to Joseph Strickland, but in your mind you have mental reservation about who may be the next Bishop of Tyler, Texas, and your plan is to bolt if it's a Supich-style liberal, then you're not making a real vow, and therefore you are committing a sacrilege because you're making these vows before God. And you're making a false vow. That's a big deal. So for all the people who said, well, Father Altman should go to Tyler, Texas. Well, I guess it's a good thing he didn't. For all of those who said that Father Martin Navarro should go to Tyler. Well, I'm kind of glad that he didn't do that, personally. Or Father Gerke, he was another attendee at the Congress down in Louisiana. Father Gerke didn't make a vow to Bishop Strickland. And you know who else didn't make a vow? Brother Andre Marie. He never made a vow to Bishop Strickland or to the Bishop of Tyler, Texas, and I'm sure glad he didn't. You know, another interesting note is Michael Voris was making all these big plans to move down to Tyler, Texas. He was getting cozy with Strickland there for a little bit. Guess you're stuck in Michigan, in fabulous Ferndale there, Voris. What's my point? My point here is, and this is something that John Henry Weston didn't get to, and I don't know how he feels about this particular issue. I've never asked him. Maybe someday I will. But for the coalition of canceled priests, I mean, half of them could have joined in Tyler, Texas. Where would they be now? Would they have to bolt twice? Would they have to get canceled twice? How about the coalition of twice canceled priests? If you're canceled once, are you presumed innocent? If you're canceled twice, are you still presumed innocent? These are very serious questions. And they require thoughtful answers. More thought needs to be put into this than what can be fit than what can fit into a standard sized tweet. And yet most of the armchair theologians out there are running around calling guys like Father Altman schismatic or Father Martin Navarro schismatic. where some see schism, I see prudence.